Today on the Southern California Real Estate Report, we talk about new apartment buildings and how some of them are being used as vacation rentals. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Welcome to the Southern California Real Estate Report. This is Bob McGuire and Daniel Wise coming to you from San Diego, California. So once again, the vacation rental world is changing the landscape of San Diego's real estate.
And this is a tough one because I think we would agree that we don't like the idea of taking private property rights from owners and aren't against vacation rentals because vacation rentals have really helped our San Diego economy because it brings in a lot of revenue to San Diego, especially people from out of state renting homes. However, then you get something like what we're about to talk to today, which is a master lease, which are developers master leasing buildings to these vacation rental companies to help fill vacancies in the downtown market.
Right. And so based on what you just said too, there's a couple of points too that we should probably point out. Number one is that in San Diego, the vacation rental conversation is not over at all.
No, it's
still
not,
out there.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated and nobody knows. Number two is probably the biggest part of the conversation that we disagree with, like Danielle was saying earlier, is that what's being purported is that vacation rentals are taking away from affordable housing.
Right.
We look at it as being that's just not true. Most of the vacation rentals are coastal, and coastal real estate in California has never fallen under the quote-unquote affordable housing banner. So what we look at is a unit, and if a unit's leased, then that's taking away from overall vacancy. And so I can see that in some ways maybe, you're looking at it as saying that the vacation rentals affect the overall percentage of overall rental stock. But
yes,
at the end of the day, that particular stock does not fall under the affordable housing banner. No matter what, there's still not enough affordable housing that is built in San Diego.
Right. Exactly.
So with that said, one of the concerns about this, like Danielle said, is that this is a master lease scenario with a company called Lyric. And this is their West Coast debut, is in San Diego. And the first deal that they did was they leased 100 units from Gray Star's 718-unit Part 12 apartment property. So that's not a huge number, right? It's about 10%, 12% of the overall building availability. But at the same time, something that Daniel and I were talking about offline is what does that do to overall Class A vacancy numbers?
And that's where the kind of the discussion really comes into play is that now you're seeing these low vacancy numbers in these Class A buildings, and it's not really indicative of actually what's happening.
The other side of it is too is that you have to ask yourself, as time goes on and as they try to shore up what they're going to do with vacation rentals, if there is some quote unquote ban on vacation rentals, this is definitely going to create an interesting ripple in the market should some of these master leases not be able to work out.
And
not overall dissimilar to WeWork or something like that.
Exactly. And this is not the first company that's done it. There's Saunders in the market here in San Diego. And we've been also talking to one, I forget the name of it, but we've also had discussions with another company that's here in San Diego and doing a very similar thing. And it's interesting because, we say that it's very expensive to build, and these units are expensive to rent, and clearly developers and the owners of these buildings have found that to be very true because they wouldn't be considering something like this otherwise. I don't know how this affects the housing market or the rental market necessarily, because these are Class A projects that are relatively new or in the process of being built. But it's an interesting thing to think about, especially if the information being provided to the market is that the building is occupied as an apartment building when it's really being 10% occupied by a vacation rental company and run like a hotel in part.
Yeah, right. And so it's interesting to kind of get an idea of how they're doing these deals. So basically, Lyric, who is the host company, right?
Right.
So there's two companies out there. So Lyric is out of San Francisco, and then the other is Sonder.
Right.
And so both are running this way. So they both operate as basically a host company. So they go to the developer. They lease, you know, in this case, Lyric leased, it says, a total of almost 15% of the units, so approximately 106 units. So what they're doing is they're helping the developers, you know, obviously get their vacancies filled faster, which is kind of skewing the numbers. And Joshua, who we know from CoStar, is quoted in here, and he was saying that Graystar's Park 12 had averaged about 30 units of leasing per month since it was first delivered in August 2018. In addition, Graystar has added concessions of up to 8 free weeks on new 15-month leases.
That's insane.
And during 1 month was offering the same freebie on 13-month leases. So monthly absorption is a bit higher than most new buildings in the East Village, where 20 to 25 units of per month are during the lease-up period is the norm. So 20 to 25.
And that's another part of this discussion. Like, in order to get these buildings leased, the amount of concessions is amazing. I mean, that's a big number. That's a significant amount of concessions to make.
Yeah. He also said it's challenging to track absorption rates whenever an apartment community turns over a significant chunk of units to a short-term vacation rental provider. So anytime they do that, the absorption becomes kind of weird, right?
Of course.
It's hard for them to tell. In the short term, it removes that stock from the market rate rental universe, right? So that stock is taken out. So it's like building that unit that's 700 units, but you're saying as a developer going, well, it's 700, but only 600 are available. So it skews all the numbers that you and I were talking about offline.
Yeah.
So it does do what we're concerned about. The other thing is to hear about what the incentives are to fill these buildings. So we've been wondering a lot, like, you know, how these buildings are getting filled. Well, now we know. They're giving away 2 months of free rent.
Which is interesting because we have a lot of, I would say, like, workforce housing, like, really middle-income housing available. Like, some of our two-bedrooms go for under $2,000 a month. Like definitely, you know, something that I was seeing back when I was renting, and even in college in Pacific Beach, you know, we were renting units for about that. And yet they don't fill us fast. And I wonder if because we're positioned in the market in this kind of interesting area where someone who's able to rent one of our units is going, well, I've got it, 2 months of free rent, and I get this brand new building downtown with all these amazing amenities. I wonder who's making that step.
I mean, you know, that's a good question. But here's the thing that you and I talked about that makes this a little bit unnerving about what could potentially happen to the downtown apartment market. And the question becomes, is the data to developers and to apartment people, is it somewhat artificial? And my answer would be, depending on how many more of these deals occur, it potentially could be, right? And something to look at is that
I would hope that CoStar, obviously this article is from CoStar, is keeping track of it, and then the developers that are, you know, in that development phase of their projects are obviously aware of it. I don't think that they wouldn't be.
Well, so here's the deal. So thousands of new units were added in downtown in the past 3 years, right? And there's more on the way. And so they're saying while the downtown rents continue to rise, CoStar data shows the apartment inventory at the end of 2019 had expanded by 50%. since the end of the recession, and downtown had posted double-digit apartment vacancy for the last 9 consecutive quarters. So that's not a good sign. So that means that, you know, what's happening is they're building these Class A units, they're running all these incentives, and, you know, people are getting into the units, but the question is long-term, what's going to happen? And then you have these vacation rental things. And the other question is it, like we talked about offline again, is what happens if the vacation rental laws change? So, you know, right now, just as it sits, you've got double-digit vacancy now for 9 quarters. So we're going on almost, what is that, almost going into our third year now, mm-hmm. of double-digit downtown vacancy. So it tells an interesting story, right? Our buildings in North Park that we, you know, have and that we are constantly competing with, our buildings in downtown that are older buildings, you know, the older buildings, I feel like a lot of the rents in San Diego have been kind of topped out. And I think my data is probably more accurate than theirs. And I feel like our rent support numbers of what we're quoting is pretty spot on to what the market is. So if you're trying to get, you know, $2,800 for a 2-bedroom or $3,200 even, and we've seen it as high as, what, $3,800 in some places?
It's insane.
You know, for 2 bedrooms. So if you're trying to get that and you're giving away 2 months free and the tenant's looking at that as going, well, okay, so – but they're signing a 15-month lease, right? So – so it's all smoke and mirrors, right? Because the developer is getting basically a 12-month lease, and he's only giving away 1 month free with that. Or they're doing it with 13 months, too, and then it turns out to be, I guess, then an 11-month lease.
They're doing that so they can hide that free rent.
Right. So they're absorbing – yeah, they're building that in, which is fine. They can – that's not that abnormal. We do that, too.
Fine.
But the difference is it still goes back, and here's the question. So let's say – a downtown unit at $3,000, right? So that's 2 months rent. So that's $500. So that's $2,500 is kind of the 2-bedroom sort of, you know, ceiling in our market, I think, in a lot of ways. If you're taking that $6,000 and dividing it by 12, that's $500 a month. Subtract that off the $3,000 and you're back to $2,500. You know, the average tenant is going, okay, if I'm doing it this way, and even though it's, you know, creative math, it's almost like financing a car or something like that, right? It's like a little game that you play up front.
And then ultimately
you're just getting into a payment thing. So they're going, hey, look, we're going to give you 2 months free. So the dollars that you're giving us are actually based on $2,500 a month, but you're going to pay an extra month at the end or whatever. So it's interesting. You know, it's interesting when you look at it this way that, you know, the jury is out basically on the Class A apartments that are being built. And the question is this being built on somewhat of a, you know, maybe a house of cards? And we'll follow this closer. But to me, it doesn't feel like it's on very stable footing. And I think that that's something that people need to look at. And the other thing is, too, with these Airbnb things, I wouldn't feel super comfortable being an investor in Lyric right now, knowing what you and I have heard at some of the San Diego functions with some of these would-be candidates for mayor and the unknown aspect of the Airbnb world.
I also think that, you know, when you look at, you know, trying to get more housing into the market and what it costs to develop something like these buildings, you know, at some point, I mean, I'm sure these developers are looking at the only way we can get our vacancy down is by master leasing to an Airbnb. It's no longer worth it to build these things.
I mean, you want to go from a construction loan to permanent debt, so you've got to find a way to bolster up your rent roll, right?
But, you know, there's only so much of the high-end market that you can build in San Diego, and
right.
If there's no way to build anything else, then, I mean, development's going to stop.
So, you know, you're looking at, you know, 700 and I think 12 units this was, 30 units a month. That's 23 months, so that's almost 24 months. So that's almost 2 years of lease up to get it leased up.
Yeah.
We're definitely coming into kind of a slower time rent-wise, and now you have this Airbnb concept taking out 100 units for you. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see, you know, probably in the next – year and a half or 2 years, we'll have a better understanding of what this does. It could be faster based on this election, who gets into office, how much they play around with this Airbnb thing, who they're influenced by. Are they influenced by the hotel lobby here, which is very powerful? Or do they care that a lot of people, you know, and private owners own a lot of Airbnb properties? We've seen that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how the dust settles on this. But you're going to see these larger companies coming out because of the success of Airbnb and some of these other vacation rental platforms. And in no way are we against the vacation rental thing. We like it. We think it's a great thing. But in the when you're taking up large blocks of Class A apartment space, I think you just have to stop and ask, what are the economic ramifications of doing these?
And also, at that point, like, are you really a hotel?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of units, you know.
It's a lot of units.
And here's the other thing, too, you know, that's a very good point, too. What does that do to the vibe of the apartment building? You know, if you're a Class A apartment renter and you're paying that kind of rent for an apartment building, and then you have the vacation rental people that are partying and it's loud, and, you know, you talk to people in Coronado and they despise vacation rentals.
You know, we get the person that buys a home and, you know, moves and wants to Airbnb their home. It's different, I think, in that circumstance. But when you're building a building as an apartment complex and then renting a good portion of it as a hotel, as an Airbnb, are you just like skirting around these massive hotel taxes that they're thinking of with, you know, Measure C, which is kind of proposed?
But they're paying them, right? Are they paying?
Yeah, I guess they
Airbnb's paying them.
I guess you're right.
They are. But they're paying a TOT on that space.
Okay, they are. Okay, but still, like, but still, you're now having a mixed use building. You have a hotel and an apartment.
I mean, look, if you're a hotel guy and you're next to this apartment building, you're not exactly happy about this. Yeah. You know, depending on what they're charging per night.
And
that's the other
and
question. What does that do to the per night cost, you know? Yeah, and parking. You know, you've got more parking. You've got more transient people. You just have more it's probably not, you know. It'll be interesting to see what the feedback is as tenants come out of these buildings in the next couple of years about, you know, what the vibe is in the buildings, too.
Yeah.
You know, is it a good thing to have a lot of vacation people when, you know, maybe you're somebody that, you know, obviously you're making a pretty decent amount of money and you're probably in a pretty, you know, a pretty intense job during the week to afford to live in a, you know, one of these two or three bedroom units downtown. It's costing you a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's going to be noise and issues around the common areas and things like that. You know, look, it's a vacation place. So, and maybe the apartment just bolsters up their on-site stuff too. Maybe they do have a lot of, you know, a lot more cleaning service and just a lot more amenities too that we're not aware of. But that's not in this article, and who knows. But this is an interesting thing. This is something that's happening. It's something that is definitely going to affect the downtown apartment world, and we're going to keep an eye on it. Thanks for listening today.